Hi, this is Frankie Doom, and you're listening to Behind the Screams podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Behind the Screams. As always, my name is Ian, and in today's show, I'm joined by the rest of the Cackle Crew, as we have now been dubbed. We were, for a very short period of time, known as the Traumatic Trio, but we've been redubbed the Cackle Crew, and I think that's more down to Lindsay and me than anything to do with Lucy, because we have the worst laughs ever. But I'm joined by Lindsay.
Hey.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
I can see you, because we're on camera for this one, and I can see you desperately holding the laugh back. We're also joined by Lucy. How's it going?
Hey, uglies.
Hello.
How you doing?
Lucy's just sitting there like, yes, I have the normal laugh, bitches.
I mean, true. Judging.
It is. It's absolutely true. She has the normal laugh. It's me and Lindsay. It's all me and Lindsay with our big cackles, so.
I was watching TikToks earlier, and I had one of those, like laughing fits that my sister was just like, oh my god, your neighbors are gonna hate you. But I do, you know that way you just see something and it's so funny and you just can't contain it, and I was like, oh god, the neighbors now know. I've held it in for a week.
I think my neighbors just hated me when we were recording the Birdemic episode, in fairness, because if anyone's listened to that episode back knows that I was full-on pissing myself.
Passion. My god.
You were also completely raging.
I was furious. I was so furious.
So raging.
But it was so funny.
You know what? It made my year. It's made my 2020.
Well, you made your own year.
2021 even.
Because it was the one you picked. But anyways, we'll chat a little bit more in just a second. Don't forget, you can find us on all major podcasting platforms. Go to Twitter at Screams Behind, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Search for Behind the Screams podcast. Go to patreon.com/behindthescreams. You can sign up as little as £1 a month. You can get, throughout the tiers, early access to all of our regular episodes. There's bonus content on there as well. We've got merchandise on there at the top tier, but we've now also just added, literally like 5 minutes before I came on the show. Well, actually, I'm still in the process of doing it, but it'll be on. By the time you listen to this, go and for all of our subscribers at the £5 tier, or anyone who wants to subscribe to us at the £5 tier, you will now get a logo print, an actual sort of small print of the logo, once you've subscribed to us for 3 months. So yeah, go subscribe to us on the Patreon, get your hands on a nice cool little print of our amazing logo. Lindsay, where can people find you?
I'm at @HiItsLindsay_ on all social media.
Awesome. Lucy?
I'm on Twitter and Twitch at Lulu_Pew. And we actually had on my last stream the developer of a game, which is a spooky horror game called Alien Scumbags.
Nice.
So it's worth checking out.
Was he impressed with your gameplay?
He read me to filth. It was brilliant.
That's so cool. I've kind of been toying with the idea of whether I'm going to go and start doing small streams again, because obviously it's been a number of years now. It's been about two years since I stopped streaming regularly. So I've kind of been toying with the idea of maybe at least just starting up like a once a week sort of thing, depending on what my schedule will allow, but we'll wait and see. We'll see how it goes. Maybe if I get a better camera. But I digress. The purpose, the topic of today's episode, you probably already know it if you're listening to it, but we will be joined very, very shortly by drag super monster and all-around legend Frankie Doom will be joining us on the podcast very, very shortly. Guys, how nervous are you? Are you just looking forward to this one?
It's a mixed bag. Like, I'm nervous, but I'm also, like, really excited just to kind of, I don't know, like, find out more about her drag inspirations and her horror inspirations and just, get to know her a little bit.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun.
Lucy, how are you feeling? Because you were on with me Alok Mishra and Naomi Grossman interview, so you've done one of these before now.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit less nervous. I'm just more excited to talk to Frankie, like Lindsay was saying, especially about the horror side and the connection between horror and drag and the inspirations.
Yeah, I'm just glad that I've got two of yous here with me, because normally I'd be, like, apart from the last one, obviously, Lucy, where you were here, but the couple that I did before that, I was doing on my own, so I had to really try and make myself seem super interesting on my own. At least now, I can just be like, right, let you two go and take the reins for us for a minute, and I can just be quiet. But no, all the interviews we've done so far have been really, really awesome. You know, we've had some really awesome people on. We've had Emma Louise Webb from Host, director B. Harrison Smith, who's super cool. He's actually super cool to talk to. And in our last interview, we had the producer of 1BR, Alok Mishra, and Naomi Grossman on. So this is our fourth interview, although Frankie was actually the first interview I organised, but is the fourth one we've actually done. But we're hopefully going to be bringing you some more of these as the year goes on. I've reached out to another couple of people. We're waiting just to sort of check schedules and things like that. But fingers crossed, we'll have a couple of really exciting people coming onto the show in the next few months and throughout the year. Like I say, I've got three people that we're just sort of trying to sort out the schedules just now. And then once I get that sorted, then I can start looking at potentially reaching out to some others as well. But we've also, in between all of that, got all of the other bonus episodes that we're going to be doing. So that's got returning guests, people like Ashlina will be coming back, people like the Girl That's Scary podcast, the Don't Fuck With The Original crew, they'll all be coming back, and they're all going to be coming on to do bonus episodes. And throughout the year, we'll be doing other bonus content. So like last week, we did the horror quiz. I'm sure we'll maybe do one or two more of those throughout the year, and who knows, like obviously at the end of the year as well, we'll have the next horror awards and things like that. So the schedule is packed. Like, when it got to the turn of the year, I was like, right, I'm going to go back to once a week, we're going to do a lighter schedule, and we're still going to be releasing two episodes a week, every single week. And that's just the show, that's not including all the Patreon stuff, any YouTube stuff that we do, and if I go back to streaming as well, so we're
you
still...
You can't help yourself.
I can't, I just no. can't. Here was me thinking to myself, oh, you know, it's going to be easy from now on, no. Last bit of business though, before we move on, we did a couple of weeks ago our very first Twitter takeover. Normally, since November 2019 when we started, I've been doing the Twitter all by myself, but Lindsay last Saturday took over our Twitter for the very first time. How did you get on? How did you find it? Did you enjoy it? Were you looking through all my DMs?
No, I wasn't actually, but I have been tempted since, because I get all the notifications now. So I'm just like, oh, I wonder what's going on. But no, it was fun. You know, I was just like decorating in my new flat by myself. So it's quite fun to have people to talk to get me through the day. And hopefully I brightened up their day as well.
That's the thing I found is like, you know, before, because sometimes, you know, the Twitter's fucking popping, you know, sometimes the Twitter's just going off. And we have had days like that where, you know, we've had hundreds of thousands of interactions and things like that, like, and impressions and things. And so days like that, you're a little bit like, holy fucking shit, like, this just isn't stopping. But, like, it breaks up your day. It fills your day. Yeah. And, like, now, see, on Saturday night, like, I was sitting there and I was just like, I had no fucking clue what to do with myself.
There was me thinking I was helping you out, but you were just distraught with nothing to do.
I was sitting there and I was just like, my phone was on the side and I was looking at my personal Twitter page and I was like, oh, three notifications for the entire day. Yay! But yes, this is something that we're going to be doing more of going forward. You're going to be taking over the Twitter page on Saturdays anyway. So I need to get used to having Saturdays off. So that'll be...
You need to get used to relinquishing the control.
just of Twitter. Nothing else. Just of Twitter. That's
nothing
fine.
Else. Just Twitter on a Saturday. That's it.
Okay. But yeah, keep tuning in on Saturdays on the Twitter page. It will be Lindsay that's running the Twitter page account. Say hello to her. Send her memes. Speak to her when she's putting out horror questions. She loves it. She loves it. Anyways, okay, guys. Are you ready to do this? Are you ready to talk to Frankie?
Yes.
Yes, excellent. Yes. So we are now talking to Frankie Doom. I am delighted to say that we are now joined by one of the superstars, the drag superstars of the Boulay Brothers Dragula. We are joined by Frankie Doom. Frankie, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. It's nice and like early over here, right?
It looks really sunny where you are. Where is it? Where is it in the world you are again?
California.
So you're in California. How is things?
It's nice and warm, but you can't go outside because you'll get corona and die. So.
So that's the only good thing about being Scottish and being stuck inside, because it is freezing here just now. We have been hot. I think it was like -7 Celsius here a couple of nights ago here where I'm at.
Oh my god, so lucky.
So we're.
I love the cold. Oh. I mean, as a drag queen, I love the cold. You're always in pads and in wigs and so much fucking shit. So like. It's always like 30 degrees hotter being in drag, so I just love when I get to go somewhere cold and be outside in the snow.
Like Scotland just needs to become a nation of drag queens.
I'll move. I'll go. All the guys are hot. There's booze everywhere. Okay, I'm ready.
But yeah, so you obviously mentioned the COVID there. We don't generally like to get into it too much, but quick question: how are things going with you where you are with COVID? Obviously, you were saying that you're still stuck inside. How are things looking where you are?
It's okay. Honestly, I work for the summer usually, so then I'm home for the rest of the time and doing drag and performing and touring or whatnot. So for me, being home isn't that serious, mm-hmm. except for not doing drag. So I'm just kind of sitting on my ass all day and like putting on makeup and hanging out with my mom and hanging out with my dogs. So I don't hate it. I miss going out. I miss like traveling. I miss being able to like be Frankie at full force. But other than that, I'm not hating sitting on my ass eating, getting fat with my boyfriend.
Yeah, you're putting on makeup. I'm just putting on weight. So
exactly same. It's getting hard to contour all these chins out.
Before lockdown, I was actually skinny, and I'm just not anymore. So thank you, COVID, for that. Well, it's good because obviously we're here in Scotland and we're back in a pretty much a full lockdown, not quite as strict as it was the first time round this time last year in March, but we're pretty much stuck back inside. We know we can't go out to see people, or we can only really go out to go and do like our food shopping and things like that. So yeah. it's tough, but you know, we have
markets and Walmart. So I'm at Walmart all the time. My boyfriend hates it. He's like, really, the fourth time this week? I'm like, I just want to get the fuck outside. I'm going to go buy socks.
It's like
socks.
An event.
I don't know.
To go.
Yeah, it's exciting. I'm like, we're going to buy socks today. Fuck that. You know? Or the dogs need snacks.
That's my one, because I have a cat and three rats, so it's like all the animals need food and they need toys and they need to be played with. And so that's my excuse.
I have two hairless dogs. My dad calls them rats because they're just little chihuahuas that are naked running around.
I have three rats. One of them is hairless, but not because that's what he is. It's just because he's old and has now lost his hair. So you may hear them at some point because they're quite loud. But they
that's
sit
cute.
Next to you. But yeah, so obviously, before we have any sort of deeper chat here with Frankie about horror movies and about your time on Dragula, do you want to tell our listeners and who maybe aren't following you yet where they can find you? What are you up to? Like, you obviously you're saying you can't really do a huge amount just now. What are you up to just now and your socials and things?
Find me on Instagram. I'm on there all the time posting pictures. I'm trying my best to be on live more and talk to people more because I don't want to be a hermit. And times are getting desperate. I'm going to start taking off my clothes soon. So keep your eyes peeled for an OnlyFans. You're going to see me naked eating McDonald's and drag.
There'll definitely be a market out there for that.
I'm sure there is. I'm like, if somebody will pay me to be naked in a wig eating nuggets, I'm down.
That's the dream, right?
Right. I'll put on nails and put on all the jewelry and just have my boobs out. That's cool.
What's your Instagram handle for people to find it?
Frankie_Doom. Follow awesome. Me. Ask me questions. Do anything. Interact with me. I'm here for it.
Absolutely. So please, people, go and do that. I was going to ask Lucy and Lindsay what their handles were, but we've already done that before you came up. Okay. So we're kind of going to break... I'm going to try and kind of break this up into sort of two segments. I'm going to try and talk to you a little bit, obviously, about your love of horror, because we're predominantly a horror movie podcast or a horror TV show podcast. So we're going to talk to you a little bit about that. And then we'll talk to you a little bit about, your time on Dragula and some questions about that. And I'm sure we'll get some tea from that as well. But first, so like we've sort of collabed our questions, some questions together and things like that. So the one question that we ask absolutely every single guest we have on, whether that's another podcaster, a Twitch streamer, or a celebrity like yourself, is simply, what is your favorite horror movie?
The Exorcist, hands down.
Oh, that's a good answer. That's a good answer.
I feel like that movie really inspires my drag a lot. I think when I started out, a lot of my performances were possession performances. So I used to have like scary lenses in and like just blood everywhere and scary makeup. And I would just spit everywhere and get naked and get gross. And that was one of my favorite things to do. I think when we got into quarantine, that was the first video that I made for like digital drag was The Exorcist. And it was all in one shot. So it was really cool to kind of like live my movie fantasy in my bedroom and kill my friend.
That sounds.
They had to censor it because there's a part of my video where like I snapped my priest's neck off, like his head off, and he dies. And on Twitch, they were like, "It looks too real. We have to like remove that from the video." So they had to like have him die and then get back up.
How Twitch getting like really strict now with their
They
rules,
are.
haven't they? Like
It's hard. I mean, I like to like show my body and a little bit of ass never hurt anybody, but Twitch doesn't let you show anything. You can't show butt cheeks or nipples, even if they're male nipples. So it's
Yeah.
kind of hard to like keep my clothes on and have ideas.
It's really hard. It's really easy for me to keep my clothes on because nobody wants to see that. So my favorite movie, just so we'll answer some of the questions as well. Everyone knows my favorite horror movie is the Halloween. Lucy, Lindsay, yourselves, what would you say? Because I don't think I've actually, I say I ask everyone. I don't think I've actually asked you to that.
I think because I literally say it on this podcast at any given opportunity, and Ian knows exactly what I'm going to say, is Jennifer's Body, because I love a horror comedy.
You do love a horror comedy.
Honestly, same. It's really fun to laugh and then see scary shit too. So it kind of works out. I love that movie a lot. I think
That's
I watched it in theaters like three times.
that's something that we've been sort of been talking about on, especially on our Twitter pages a lot, because horror comedies tend to get quite a lot of, flack, and people, there are people out there who say, oh, well, it's not really horror and things like that. And we're not about that at all. Like, it's fucking horror, people.
Right.
And
If someone gets murdered and there's blood and fucking gore, it's a horror movie. You know what I mean?
yeah, and here, in my opinion, the UK has produced the best horror comedy of them all in Shaun of the Dead. So we're very
That's a
protective.
classic. That's a classic.
We're very
Oh, have you guys
protective.
seen that new movie, Freaky?
I've not seen it yet, but I do really want to. I don't know, Lindsay,
It
if
was
you.
actually really good. I really liked it.
Yeah,
Yeah, I've
Kind of
seen a
reminded me
lot
of
of
Happy
people
Death
on
Day.
Twitter saying it was really good. It's just like Freaky Friday, except like with
Yeah.
serial killers, isn't it?
Or what was that other movie? The Hot Chick, I think, where like, I forgot what that guy's name, but he like changes bodies with Rachel McAdams or something. And, but it's like a horror version of that. So there's like murders in this one. So it was actually really good. I really liked it a lot.
Yeah, I've seen on Twitter there's been people who have been like, oh, I want to see a Happy Death Day slash freaky sort of crossover movie now.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
And Blumhouse will absolutely just be like green light that because they
I
green light
think
everything.
the thing that I hate the most, what I miss the most right now, is movie theaters because I live right next to one. So I used to go like every Thursday night at midnight to watch whatever the hell came out.
Yeah, that's a
You
big
know,
thing
and
for me. That's
I
definitely a
miss that
big
a
thing.
lot. And
Yeah,
I miss horror
well,
movies. They're making us wait another year for Halloween. I'm like going crazy. Halloween's my second favorite.
I know. I've been losing my mind about that one. I was kind of
How did you
lucky.
feel about it? Did you like how
I
where they went
really
with it? Like,
liked 2018.
me too.
I know a lot of people didn't like. I know it got kind of mixed response. I really, really liked it. I was never a big fan of the whole sister
I'm
brother.
actually wearing a Halloween shirt right now.
Oh. And you've just became my favorite guest. My
Oh,
favorite guest of all time now. No one will
nice.
top that.
I'm a huge Halloween fan. You have no idea. I think Michael Myers is really hot.
Honestly,
But
Lindsay and Lucy are sick fed up about me talking about Halloween and talking about John Carpenter and all the other things. So they are
Were
absolutely
you a
sick
fan
of
of the Rob Zombie movies? Would you like the Rob Zombie
I
version?
was actually. I was more of a fan of the first Rob Zombie Halloween than I was of the second Rob Zombie Halloween. But it was
I think I liked the movies, but I hated the girl that played Laurie Strode.
They should have just made it Danielle Harris, okay? And
Right. She should have been Laurie. I mean, it would have been amazing for all of us, and she's a great actress, so it totally worked.
yeah,
But no,
absolutely.
I didn't like that Scout girl. I think everything was great except for her. She was just terrible, especially in the second one where she was like yelling she's Michael Myers' sister. I was like, oh my God, I'm over it. I want to hit her. Kill her, please. actually met Danielle Harris at a horror convention.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
And I was wearing giant shoes and I was super tall, so I couldn't see her because she's like 3 feet tall.
She's
and
small.
I bulldozed into her and like hit her, and I was like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. And then I looked over, it was her. And I was like, holy shit, it's Danielle Harris.
That's so cool. I'm so jealous. Danielle, again, that's someone else that Lindsay is absolutely fucking sick fed up of me bringing up all the time. It's either Halloween and Danielle Harris. Those are the two people. Lindsay,
I got her to sign. I got her to sign my Hatchet poster.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm so jealous. See, this is the thing, like, I've spoken to on some other podcasts as well that I've been on. It's like, here in Scotland, we don't really have, you know, horror conventions. You know, a lot of people don't really come here. If they come to the UK, you know, they'll go to like London and England. And for, especially for us up here, because me and Lucy are in Aberdeen. Lindsay, you're closer to the borders than we are. Lumping you in with the English again, Lindsay. But me and Lucy, we're like, what, 500 miles away from London? Something
yeah,
like that. So like, if people are coming to there, like, that's nowhere near close enough for us to like do it regularly. Like, that's a once in a very blue moon sort of trip. So we kind of miss out on a lot of that, you know. So I'm just explaining that I'm very jealous. Before Lindsay, what was your favorite horror movie? Because I didn't get to you yet.
See, if you'd asked me this like a week ago, I would have said something different, but I recently watched Terrifier and I'm just
yes.
absolutely
oh my god, that's so good.
Yes.
It is so good. I watched it for the first time like a week ago and I'm just like an Art the Clown fangirl now. I absolutely love it.
I don't know if you can see that, but this is the poster that my fiance got for me
at
Christmas.
I love clowns. I have a thing for clowns. My boyfriend's actually a clown.
That's so cool.
His drag persona is called Christina Clown, and he always dresses like a really weird little creepy dead kid clown, and he murders people on stage all the time. He's really cool. I would tell him he's cooler than me, but like, he's crazy. He's bloody and scary. I love it. I love clowns. They get
awesome.
they get me hot.
Well, speaking of Terrifier, I've actually been speaking to David Howard Thornton on Facebook over the past like couple of weeks, because fingers crossed, hopefully, we're going to get him on the show in the next couple of months as well. So hopefully we'll have Art the Clown on the show moving forward as well. So that'll please you, Lindsay.
Yes.
But anyways, so sort of back to the horror question. You said that The Exorcist was obviously your favourite horror movie. You said it was one of your biggest influences on drag. Are there any, what other sort of horror movies, genres, like what goes into like a movie night? If you're having like a horror movie night, you know,
oh
what sort
God.
Of things are you throwing on?
The Exorcist for sure, at least just the good parts, because it gets a little intense after you watch it so many times. What else do I watch? I love Death Becomes Her. That's like one of those like what dark comedies that I love.
Yes.
I love watching that. I can quote the whole movie all the way through. So I just perform the whole thing all the time with my friends. We watch zombie movies a lot, actually. Zombies are creepy and scary. Like 28 Days Later, I love that.
Yes.
I love that movie.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
And I can watch I can watch Resident Evil movies forever because I love the video games and I love Mila Jovovich. So I can just watch those all the time. I love Alice. I want to cosplay her one day.
So me and Lucy, we did the 28 days. We did 28 days later and 28 weeks later as well. Excuse me.
Yeah, we did.
For episodes on the show. My fiance has kind of gone off the boil a little bit with zombie movies, so I don't really get to watch them that much just now. So I'm hoping that she comes back round on them, because I feel like I'm missing out now because there's so many.
Have you guys seen Frankenhooker?
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like that's me in a nutshell. Got any money?
That's basically me on Twitter to people who's listening to the show. Just
right.
Like, money, please send us your
literally,
money.
I strap on these giant boobs and I'm just like, give me money, come on. I'm wearing 10-pound tits.
So one of the things we've sort of been alluding to is like kind of, you know, how, you know, we were talking about the weather, you know, you were saying you've got an extra 30 degrees with all of your makeup and your padding and things like that on, and now you're saying, you know, you've got these big, you know, these 10-pound tits and things like that putting on. What's the toughest thing for you, would you say, is like when it comes to drag, or even if it's just like, you know, getting into your looks or whatever, what do you find most challenging?
Oh my god, I hate putting on tights and pads. Like, I love the makeup part. Like, I love sitting here on my table and putting all my makeup on, and like, my god, I wear so much makeup and I wear gallons of glitter and hair and everything. I love nails. Everything is fine. But once I get to like putting on pads, I'm like, fuck, it's gonna get hot. And now I have to, and then just the thought of it makes me have to pee or poop. And I'm just, okay, fine. We gotta go do it now before it's too late, because then I'll get a chance later. You know what I mean? But I've never been a fan of tucking. I've never tucked my penis anywhere. Like, I've never taped it back or anything. It's never been my thing because I have to pee a lot. Like, I drink, so I have to pee. So I've always cut like holes in my tights so I could just like pee if I have to. Yeah.
So
I'm always a stunning, beautiful, beautiful woman with like a fat bulge.
I've only ever done drag like I think 3 or 4 times, and I have a tiny bladder, especially when, you know, the booze is flowing. So like I didn't talk. As soon as I go that first time, I'm back and forth to the toilet like every 10 minutes. So I definitely didn't do that. The thing for me was shaving my legs. Like that was so laborious for me. That was got on my nerves. But anyway, that's besides the point.
Just be a hairy woman. People love that. People are into hairy girls.
They are, yes. I think I'd keep the beard.
I love my girls with a little extra hair.
I think if I go and do it again, I think I'll keep the beard. So
go for it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, we're obviously talking there about, you know, like people like, that's one of the big messages that really comes through. I know I was saying I was keeping things separate, but that's kind of gone out the window. One of the big things about Dragula is, you know, about accepting everyone of all different kinds of drag queens, you know, whether you're, you know, you're a hairy drag queen, whether you're, you know, you don't have to really fit this mold that we can sometimes sort of fall into the trap of when people think of, you know, drag queens and drag competitions and that, you know, it sort of seems to be certain people have that image that there's got to be a certain way that you have to look. And that's really one of the big messages I take out of Dragula anyway. So what was it like, especially maybe more so on season one rather than on Resurrection, what was it like for you having such a variety of a different styles of drag queens and all the different things that, you know, that they brought to the table? Like, what was it like being in surrounded by so many different creative people? I'm sure that it's something that you've sort of felt before, but not quite in that setting.
Well, season one was crazy. Like, the drag scene where I come from was very, like, I guess it was during season 5 of Drag Race that I started doing drag, or, like, started putting stuff together. And I remember being compared to, like, Sharon Needles a lot, or I remember, like, my kind of drag was, you're beautiful, but you're murdering people, or you're getting naked, or there's, like, blood everywhere, you know? And it was very kind of like, you're interesting, but we don't know what this is about. So a lot of the times I got shit for not shaving my legs or not shaving my armpits or having a hairy chest or, you know, stuff like that, or not tucking or whatnot. So it was really cool to like have a place to come out to and just be yourself and not have to like adhere to certain rules that people put on drag, you know? So it was really cool to come on Dragula. But at the same time, I didn't know what Dragula was or what it was going to be. You know, it was a party in LA. So we used to party every month and I won the party. My boyfriend won the party. All my friends did. So if you were cool, you won the party and you were the coolest person ever in LA because you're the Dragula queen. You're the monster of, like, you know, the town. I ended up working the parties. So when season one happened, they couldn't really tell me too much because I was in Alaska. So they just told me, hey, come home. We need you for something. I thought it was a music video. So then coming on, I was like, all right, I'm broke. I'm trash. Duct tape is literally my bra. So let's go do this. So I felt like season one was so just surreal because I got to walk in just crazy poor and with one necklace and a Rob Zombie shirt day one, you know? So it was kind of cool. And then I saw the feet on the floor and I was like, that's so Chimochi. I know that bitch's shoes anywhere. And I saw Ursula's feet and it was Ursula. And it was so cool to see the cast of season one because we all kind of knew each other. We all worked together in different clubs or have seen each other perform. So it was just really cool to see such different people like next to each other competing. And we're all different. Everyone comes with a different, you know, style and different outlook on drag. Like Vander, day one, I was like, fuck, this bitch is cool. Like, you know what I mean? Her witch came out and I was like, oh, well, I mean, I guess she won. And I mean, so many people hated Meatball's witch. I did not. I thought it was fucking funny. I thought it was so funny that she was like some kind of candy, weird, like, witch person. I thought it was funny. Yeah. So many people hated hers. Oh, yeah, you guys are Meatball fans, I remember. I listened to your podcast.
That That was Lindsay.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really cool.
I'm joking.
I believe one of you guys said she should have been in the top three, not me. And I was like, oh, all right.
No, but I mean, how did it feel like? Because you did. You made it to the top three. You made it all the way to the final. So going into the competition, were you... I don't want to say, like, expecting to do quite well, because I'd obviously, you know, like... But did you think, you know, right, okay, did you go into it thinking, right, I'll just go as far as I can? Do you think to it, you know, some people might go into it thinking, oh, like, if I can get past the first few... Or did you go into it like, right, I'm here to fucking win this thing. I'm going to win. And then you obviously made it to the final.
I went into it drunk. like on episode two, I think it was the wrestling episode. The night before, I hadn't seen my friends in a while because I just flew back home to do Dragula. So they were like, let's go out and have a drink. I got so shit-faced that I was like puking in my neighbor's yard and I was naked in the front yard like 4 hours before I had to be on camera. So that makeup was terrible that morning. I was still drunk. I got there to like film and I remember Sochi was just like, you're gonna go home today, bitch. You're fucking wasted. And I forgot half my costume in the car. So that's why I'm just wearing this pink leotard. I was supposed to have feathers and be the pink flamingo. Didn't happen. And I just sound drunk the whole fucking episode. And I passed out, like, I think at one point in Sochi's house after. But yeah, I think a lot of the episodes, if you watch them again and like take and just stare at me, you'll notice that like my head bobs a lot and I'm like falling asleep because I'm wasted. But I just went into it really having a good time and having fun with it and just trying to like, I don't know where it was going to go. It was a YouTube channel thing. So I was like, this is going to be funny. We're going to look at it later and think it's hilarious. I don't know where this is going. And then it got a lot bigger than I thought. But it was actually really cool to get to the end. I was confident going in. I was just like, fuck it. We're going to do this. I'm punk as fuck. It's going to happen. I'm going to be a mess. There's going to be blood. And honestly, though, my biggest thing is that I couldn't make up my mind on what I wanted to do for the finale. So when it got to the season one finale, I totally choked. And all my looks, we made them the night before because I couldn't decide on what I wanted. So everything was just not fitting right. Things were a mess. But it was fine. I mean, when I got to it, I was like, Vander's going to win anyway, girl. What does it matter? I'm just glad to be here.
But I mean, that must still have been like something that you're very proud of. You know, that's the very first.
Oh, definitely.
That's the very first season of Dragula as we know it now, you know, and top three. That's a big big thing to make it all the way to the finale. And then obviously you got to come back and do Resurrection as well. Now, obviously, that was a completely different experience because of COVID.
Yeah, I was sober for that one.
Because of COVID and that as well. How did you find doing Resurrection, you know, in comparison to doing season one? Because obviously with COVID and things like that, in terms of the filming, like, how did that differ?
When I got the call for that, it was in the middle of the summer and I was super excited to be a part of it. I literally said yes. I don't even know what it was yet. I said, yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, I'm down. And I'm not doing anything else right now. I was super excited because I thought we were going to get to like see each other and like compete together. And I was really looking forward to being in like the dressing room with like the coffin, you know, the coffin door.
Yeah.
And being, you know, glamorous in the air conditioning. And then I got cheated out of it again. So I was in my house. No, but honestly, the worst part was that it was a fucking heat wave. It was 115 degrees here. So it was like boiling hot the whole time we filmed my stuff. But it was cool. It was cool to see the Boulay brothers and to see like some of the crew members that I knew visit my home and, you know, be super careful and not die from like diseses. So it was cool.
It's good. Yeah,
but it was great to be re-inspired. Like, it was great to be re-inspired and like be able to show people what I could do because season one was so long ago. And like I said, I was a big broke punk trash queen, like just doing whatever. And not that I'm rich now because I'm not, I'm poor as shit, but I've learned a lot more tricks now to like be able to make things look expensive.
Well, that's the thing as well. Like, it was so good. The reason I didn't know what Resurrection really was going to be until I watched it. Like, I tried to sort of stay away from, you know, anything that was being said online about it. And I tried to go in as cold as I could. So I didn't really have any idea what to expect when I go in it. And it was so good, especially like, because, you know, you weren't the only season one competitor to come back for Resurrection as well. So it was really, really good to see that sort of how far you've came. And can I just say that some of the, because you were wearing, you used a lot of prosthetics as well in your looks for Resurrection, and they've got to be some of the best prosthetics. I was so impressed by them. They were
Thank
absolutely
you.
sensational, and I think we said that on our episode as well, but I was so impressed by the prosthetics they were using. I thought they were absolutely fantastic.
It was so much fun. I fucking love special effects makeup. I love horror movies. I love just really intense makeup. So it was fun to really like focus on that, you know, and get to do that and have fun with it. I felt like everybody knows that I could paint a beautiful face because I paint beautiful makeup all the time. It's what I do. I feel like I've come a long way, but I wanted to show you guys what I could really do with makeup and prosthetics and boobs and nakedness and blood and gore. So I had fun with it. It was really, really fun.
That's so cool. Lucy, Lindsay, do you at this point, because I still have other questions to get to, but I'll give you two an opportunity to speak because I've spoken loads and no one's here to hear my voice. So if there's anything that you guys want to ask.
Yeah, I was just like wanting to know more about your journey in prosthetics because I remember your season one sea monster look, and it was so good. It was like something out of one of those, I don't know, like 1930s horror films. Like it looked exactly like a character from that, and then it goes from that to looking exactly like Angelica Houston's character from The Witches. So as much as obviously the start point was good, the end point is even better. Like I just wanted to know more about that journey because some of our listeners do special effects makeup as well, so I'm sure they'd be interested.
I've always loved special effects. I've always done zombie makeups and things. I think before drag, I used to go out to clubs, basically in like underwear and wings and horns and just crazy makeups, you know. And then I started meeting more people in the horror community, and I started going to a bunch of shows, and I started becoming a scare actor and scaring people in theme parks. So I think like I just started picking up tips here and there on how to do stuff and videos, and it went from zombie walks and zombie characters to just turning it into drag. And I don't know, it's always been there. I love horror movies. I love special effects makeup. And now I have friends that do horror makeups from, I think, all over the place. There's some that have been on that show Face Off that I've become friends with. So whenever I have a question, I'm just like, what do you think I should do with this? You know? And one of my best friends, her name is Patty. She helped me a lot with like everything. Whatever I need, I'm just like, okay, what are we doing? This is the plan. And she helps me so much with just like all her knowledge because she's gone to school for special effects. So I get to like pick her brain a lot. So it's all been just learning tips and tricks from people that I trust and people that I'm around. So I feel like it really helped.
I think
And just saying fuck it and going for it, because a lot of people hold themselves back. A lot of people say, I can't do that, or I don't know. And you just kind of say fuck it and make it happen.
that's it. Like, I think the big thing is, you know, it's just trying things, you know, like getting that sort of tips and tricks off of people that you know, using all of those things, just being really resourceful. And that's definitely one of the things that I saw off of that I seen off of Resurrection, sorry, was that just how resourceful yous all were, you know, using things about the house, using loads of different materials and things like that. And that's one thing that really, really impressed me. Obviously, I knew that yous were all really resourceful anyway, but to see it on screen, you know, to see yous, you know, doing your interview pieces while she were working and things like that, I thought really good. And yeah, right. I think it's for a lot of people, you know, you just need to say yes more, really. Like, you know,
Yeah.
don't say you can't, like you're saying, like some people hold themselves back. You know, just try. You never know. Like, you might be pretty good at it, and then you can work on your craft. And that's what we did. That's what I did anyway with the podcast, because, you know, like, I was really 50-50 about starting the podcast. And then, you know, one day I just went, you know what, fuck it. Let's just do it. And when we start, you know what, when we started, like, I was listening back to some of those old episodes today. We were fucking shit. This was a terrible podcast. I say we, I, because I was on my own. I was fucking shit. This was a terrible podcast that I didn't, no one would want to listen to. And now some people want to listen to us. So yeah, that's like, yeah, just people should say yes more and try new things more. Lucy, have you got anything that you want to ask at this point?
Yeah, while we're on the topic of Resurrection and just the complete change of Dragula from season one to season three in Resurrection, a bit more budget, air conditioning, as you said, I'd really love to know, Frankie, kind of where you see the future of Dragula as we go into season four and beyond. And also, what would you like to see from Dragula and the world of horror and drag kind of mixing together?
I love where they're headed. I mean, I think it's really cool that it's a show that allows anyone to be a part of it. It doesn't matter if you're a boy, girl, in between, anywhere, whatever you identify as long as you have some really amazing art, you're able to be on the show. So I think that's really cool that we're very inclusive. I'm just really excited to see more variety. There's so many performers out there that aren't just drag queens. So I love that. Like Landon's incredible, an incredible drag king. And I feel like he set the bar so high on what any drag king has to be to get on the show. So I'm excited to see what else people bring, you know what I mean? And I hope that it grows just as huge as other shows and gets a whole bunch of people out there and changes the world of drag, because it's kind of boring watching the same wig and the same nails and the same outfits all the time. You know what I mean? Everyone kind of looks the same. It's really cool to see things that are different.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, and like, I really like, you know, I try and do my bit, you know, like, I, you know, because loads of people to always talk about, you know, things like Drag Race and things like that. And I'll be like, oh, have you heard of this? Have you seen this? And be fair, like, most people have. Most people know what Dragula is. Most people have seen it. Because, well, here in the UK, it's on Amazon Prime here in the UK, all of it, apart from Resurrection, which is on Shudder here. So, you know, people have access to it as well. So I think that's been a big thing, especially in the last, like, 2 or 3 years, that, you know, more and more and more people just becoming aware of this thing, because, and you know, it's so important, and it does, like you said, give that variety. And that was the reason why I loved it when I first saw it. It was my fiance that had actually introduced it to me. Was that variety, you know, like you say, you have all these different people from all these different walks of life doing all different styles, different, you know, identities and things like that. And, you know, that's what really, really made it attractive to me. So I'm really excited to see more of that going forward. Couple of questions that I sort of want to ask. Is there someone from the other two seasons that you wish you'd been in the same season as? Like, do you wish they were in your season? Or vice versa? Like, is there someone you've like, no, I definitely didn't want them in my season?
Oh my God. I wish I had a Louisiana Purchase in my season, because I love her. Like, I loved watching her on her season, and I wanted to just hug her the whole time. Hollow Eve would have been great. I love Hollow. Hollow's one of my favorite people in the world. So it would have been cool to spend that time with her and get to experience her art and all the gross smells and gross things that come along with it. Honestly, I met her before she was on Dragula, and we hung out for a week at her apartment. And I'm super scared of bugs. Like, I could do anything. Pain is no problem. But when it comes to like bugs and insects and gross shit like that, I can't. Like, it makes me really uncomfortable and I'll throw up. Like, it's just too much. And I went to her apartment, and she had this, a thing she did, I guess, a while back, where she was naked, I guess, covered in bugs, and they were like sewn into her body. I don't know, there was a lot going on, but there was bugs and a mask and like roaches and little coffins. And the whole time I was at her house, I wanted to like die because it was making me really uncomfortable. But by the end of the week, I was like, this is fucking cool. And I think I touched like one of the boxes, but I couldn't touch the roach.
Oh, I couldn't. There's no way I'd be able to do that.
But like that, it would have been really cool to experience her art, like in a show setting and like a competition. Yeah. And Victoria too. I would have loved to gone against Victoria. Granted, she would have kicked my ass because her prosthetics are way better. But it would have been cool to learn from her and see what she does and see her process, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. Okay, so just taking it back a little bit to more horror. I'm sure we'll have a couple more drag things to ask you and Dragula things to ask you, but just taking it back to sort of horror, one of the things we sort of like I said, when we were collabing, you know, what we want to talk about and things like that was about horror icons. You know, me and Lucy have previously done an episode on our favorite final girls, our top five final girls, and then just at the start of the year we started our own awards show where we, you know, created our own sort of horror hall of fame, if you will, for the podcast. And we were in, and these are all people, you know, we think are really influential and people that we love. Who is the sort of like your ultimate horror icon? Like, who is that person? You know, so for me, when we were doing the Final Girls, it was Sigourney Weaver from Alien. And then when we do the Horror Hall of Fame, I did John Carpenter. I know, Lindsay, you talked about Elvira. Who is your sort of idol from horror?
Elvira. Yes, that's definitely it. I mean, she's stunningly gorgeous, has giant boobs, is super sexual but really funny, and she's creepy. So I've always been in love with her even before I even knew what she was. I think as a little kid I saw her somewhere and I was like, I love her, I want to be her. I don't know how it's gonna happen, but it will. And here we are, 20 years later, I have giant boobs and I have an Elvira costume. So I think she's my favorite. I have a giant cutout of her. I have her makeup palettes. I have a lot of Elvira crap. Aside from that, Laurie Strode, man, she's like the OG.
Yeah. Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis was, both Elvira and Jamie Lee Curtis went into the Horror Hall of Fame in like the first sort of year of it.
Sydney Prescott is great too, though. Sydney's great.
Yeah.
And I wish that Sarah Michelle Gellar lived in one of her movies. Because I love her, and I know what you did last summer, but she gets sliced up.
There's a TV show of that coming as well, I think. I think James Wan's on to direct it.
Really?
I think I saw, I think it was on Bloody Disgusting or something like that. I'm sure I saw either today or yesterday that there's a mini-series coming, and James Wan's on to direct, so that'll be kind of interesting.
Good. That's exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's a Chucky show coming out too, right?
Yeah, there's a Child's Play series coming out. I'm not sure if that got pushed back for because of COVID or what, because I think that was due to come out either late 2020 or something, or maybe I'm just making that up completely, but I'm hoping that gets to come out.
Did you like the remake?
I did like the remake. I know the remake got loads of shit, like loads and loads of shit. I
thought he was really ugly. Like, yeah. I thought he, the doll, was really ugly, but the deaths were so brutal. Like, I think it's like the pervy dude that like falls on the saw.
Oh, yeah.
That was badass. And then the car that takes the old lady and like crashes it, I was like, oh my God, that's our future. Our cars are going to crash us.
But no, I really liked that movie. I thought it was still kind of funny. I thought it was still scary. Mark Hamill obviously is the voice. I love Mark Hamill as a voice actor. He's so fucking cool. So yeah, like I really liked it. So I'm super excited for that TV show to come out. Speaking of what's coming out, what are you most excited for? And you know, we had so much that was postponed. What are you most excited to go and see?
Oh my God, Halloween.
Yes. Good. That's the right answer.
I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to experience it. I'm a really huge fan of Judy Greer too. So the fact that she's in Halloween and made it into one of my favorite movies, horror genres, is really cool. Like, I love her in Jawbreaker. I love her in basically everything she's in. I watch her. I loved her in Cursed. So the fact that I get to see her in Halloween makes me happy. And I love Jamie Lee Curtis. So that works.
Yeah.
I'm excited for all the deaths. I hear that it's supposed to be super brutal. The death count's supposed to be crazy out of this world. So I'm ready to see people get stabbed.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see. I'm really excited to see where they go with it, because obviously, like, so we got 2018, and now we've had to wait. We're having to wait and wait and wait. So I'm super excited for it.
Oh, and then Scream. I'm super excited for Scream.
That's 2022, and I think that's what's supposed to be coming out. And yeah, like it's no secret on this show that I like the first Scream, but I'm not like the biggest fan of the rest of them in comparison
really?
To some of the other stuff. Yeah.
Did you hate three the most?
I did hate three. I did hate three the most.
I thought three was such a far-fetched idea, but I mean, I guess it's okay.
I think it was weird. I think it was Courtney Cox's Fringe that did it for me, to be honest.
Stop. Oh my God. So I bought this wig. It was like supposed to be a Betty Page wig, and it was supposed to be super like dominatrix and beautiful. And it looked like it in the picture. And when it got to me, it was literally Courtney Cox's hair from Scream 3. But I had spent so much money on it that I was like, fuck this. I'm wearing this proudly. And I put it on to go out. And I can't watch those videos or look at those pictures anymore.
But no, I am excited. I'll still go and see Scream 5. I am excited to see Scream 5. The other one that there's two more that I'm really excited about. I'm super excited about Candyman. I'm really excited to go and see that. Candyman's one of my favorite movies. It's up there. So I'm really excited to see how that goes. And with what Lindsay said, I'm super excited for Terrifier 2 as well. So those are the sort of the three that I'm really looking forward to. Lucy, Lindsay, what are you really looking forward to this year?
Candyman. Because we've been waiting long enough now.
yeah, we have. Lindsay?
I'm looking forward to Spiral. Like, I want to see Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson together in a horror movie. Like, I just want to see what they're going to do. And not just
any horror movie, a Saw horror movie
as well.
I'm looking forward to that one as well. I kind of had forgotten about
Saw
that.
Saw movies are too much. The deaths are crazy. They make me uncomfortable. But, I mean, I love it. I think one of my boyfriend and I's first dates was to go see Saw 4. And he said he didn't want to see it. It makes him uncomfortable. And we ended up watching it. And I think it's when they pulled back the scalp and you could see the brain and they're like picking at his brain. He was like, and he's like, I can't, I need to go. And he like had to leave the theater.
I'm actually recording an episode for Saw 3 on Saturday. So that'll be cool. Well, I think.
But they're always good. I think there's. Those movies are crazy because they go on forever, but they're so good and the effects are so good.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think once you watch the behind the scenes and like you see people sawing off their arms and it's like a fake arm and they're like laughing about it, it kind of like takes the scariness away.
Yeah, I remember.
The movies I can't watch ever again, I think, are Hostel movies.
I just watched that like a week ago.
I can't. Part two made me so uncomfortable. And then The Last House on the Left, the remake, mm-hmm. and... what's the other one? The Green Inferno.
Oh yes, I saw that. I saw that for the first time actually a few months ago. That's brutal. That is a brutal.
I watched it in theaters. I remember getting really nauseated.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that movie is just straight up.
It was
up
too brutal. Real.
Straight up brutal. Sorry, I'm just sort of having a look through my questions here to see what I've missed because I've sort of gone very out of order. So I have no. One of the things we talk about a lot. When it comes to horror movies, when we're sort of analyzing them and discussing them, is, you know, tropes and sort of our pet peeves and things that really annoy us. What would you say is, like, if you're watching a horror movie, what's the one thing that will, like, annoy you about a horror movie? Is it, you know, the, like, killing the pets, or is it, you know, running up the stairs?
Oh my god, I hate when something happens to an animal. I hate when that happens.
Yeah,
I think it was I Am Legend, where you know he's gonna kill the dog, and I was pissed the fuck off. I was like, don't fucking touch her.
That's heartbreaking. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Heartbreaking.
They don't know. They're just innocent animals. They don't know.
Well, because me and Lucy, how long ago was the 1BR interview that we did? A month ago,
we were interviewing. The anxiety I had.
I don't know if you've seen it, Frankie. It's called 1BR, and mm-hmm. It's a fairly low budget sort of indie flick that it came out a couple of months ago, but it's gaining a little bit of traction here in the UK. For those who are listening, it's called Apartment 1BR, but it's 1BR in the States. And so we had the producer of that, and we also had Naomi Grossman on the show, who was in that. And there's a scene in that movie where they literally oven cook a cat. It's not a real cat, obviously, but they oven cook the cat. And we kind of gave them a little bit of shit for that, didn't we?
Yeah, I just, like, the minute I saw that cat, I was like, oh no. I had so much anxiety for the first half an hour. I was like, there's going to be something happening to that cat. And it looks like one of my cats as well. So I was like, no, it's too much.
Well, that's because we're all cat mums here on the podcast. Yeah. So that one hit home very hard for all
I'm
of us.
I'm allergic to cats. So I'm like, go ahead, take the cats out. No, but it's horrible. It's sad. I can't. Animals getting hurt sucks. And then I think another thing is, like, just really, really obvious, like, you know when, like, you're watching a horror movie and the killer's coming at you and the person that's, I guess, being murdered is much bigger and can totally kill them or fight them back and they just don't? Like, they just stand there and take the death. I'm very like, come on, girl. Like, if this were real, you'd fucking, like, flail your arms in the air or, like, kick a bitch or something. Try it. Like, I don't know. Don't just sit there and die.
Yeah.
I get irritated.
Yeah, I think it's just, I think things for me is just, like, it's... I know you have to have, like, a suspension of disbelief when you're watching certain horror movies. That's part of the beauty. But right. I think it's really illogical decisions. Like, people doing things, you're just like, wait a minute.
I'm the dumb big titty girl that runs back upstairs and gets killed. So I don't know. I feel like that's who I am.
It's funny. So one of the questions we've got down is, how long do you think you would survive in a horror movie?
I'd be the killer. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I'm a Leo, so I'll definitely be the killer.
Same, I'm a Leo too.
Yay! So, you are as well, right, Lindsay?
No, I'm a Sagittarius.
Oh.
We're all fire signs. So.
Fire signs, that's it.
No, I'm Taurus.
Lucy, you're getting murdered.
Oh, I know that. I fully accept that.
We're coming for you, bitch. Because, I would either be the killer or I would just die straight away because I'm too lazy to fucking run anywhere. Like, I'm not running away from anyone, so I'll just die straight
not
away.
In these shoes.
I don't even need that excuse. I'm not running. Not running, just no chance. Okay, so if you got the opportunity to work with anyone in horror, who'd be like your dream collaboration? I know we've already sort of spoken about Elvira. Would it be her, or would it be someone else?
My dream, honestly, is to die in a horror movie. I just want to be in one just so I could walk around and get mutilated and really ugly. So probably John Carpenter. I'd want to be killed by Michael Myers. I
Yes.
want to get like
Nice.
knifed. I want one of those stupid deaths where like he stabs you through your stomach into a wall that makes no sense. 'Cause how would you even stay up there? But
Halloween 4 when he does it with a shotgun, you
yeah.
mean?
That there you go.
That's cool. No, I'd be totally
The
down for
weirdest thing
that.
ever, and this is such a random fact. My sister hates horror movies and she doesn't watch them at all or doesn't do anything with horror. But she goes to college and she took a class. I forgot what class it was, but she said, "My teacher is in a horror movie. I don't know if you know it." Her teacher is Annie from Halloween.
No,
Yeah.
Nancy Keys.
So I showed her the video of Annie getting killed in the first movie where it looks ridiculous and her eyes are rolling back in her head and she looks stupid. And my sister was like, "Oh my God, that's my teacher."
That's fucking awesome. My fiance's gotten me into watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and I didn't realize that Kyle Richards was Lindsay from Halloween for like the
Yeah.
longest time, and I was just like, she told me, and I was just like, huh, there you go. Now she's my
That
favorite.
blew my mind when I watched it as well, because I'm fully addicted to Real Housewives now.
I quote that all the time. I always walk around the house and I go, "Lindsay!" to my boyfriend all the time. When he does anything stupid.
Okay, I mean, again, Lucy, Lindsay, if you've got any questions, just jump in. I'm starting to run through my list. So, is there anything else you guys want to ask while we're here?
Yeah, just on the topic of horror movies. So obviously we've all been stuck inside for what seems like a decade now, and we've all been on Netflix and Shudder and Amazon Prime. What's been your favorite horror movie that you've seen since kind of like being in lockdown? I'd love to know.
That's hard. I've seen so many. Honestly, I think it's the documentaries.
Yeah.
I got Shudder because I wanted to check it out because it's horror related. So
Mm-hmm.
before the show was going to be on it, and I ended up watching all of the. I think it's Eli Roth's something of horror. I forgot what it's called. Masters of Horror. I don't know, something like that. It's a really cool documentary, and it goes from like, I think it's one of the episodes witches. One of them is demonic possession. So. It kind of runs through like the whole genre and like the whole subgenres of like each thing. So I love watching it. I love documentaries. I love horror things. And then there's the other thing, what was it called? Cursed films, where all the deaths that happen during movies and stuff. So I get sucked into documentaries more than horror movies because it's more broad and you get to see more action, more blood, more gore, more stuff, more
I do love
Yeah.
watching. I love getting behind the scenes stuff as well when I'm watching horror movies. I recently watched it. They're quite old. I say quite old. They're not brand new. But I watched the Hellraiser documentaries. I think they were on Shudder. I'm not sure if they're still on Shudder. I watched them not long ago, and Hellraiser again is one of those sort of iconic movies for me. So I was super excited to see that. And I also watched the horror noir documentary that Shudder has as well, and that was really interesting. It's cool. So yeah, I love getting sucked into a good documentary as well. Lucy, what about you? What was your favorite?
I love a documentary, but for me, and I literally only watched this a few days ago, but I liked it a lot more than I thought I would, and it's Spree. I don't know if you've seen that. That's on Netflix, and a lot of people are kind of calling it the modern age Psycho, and it's just the
Ooh.
I think his name's Steve from Stranger Things. He's the main guy in it, and it's just looking at, well, Lindsay's seen it as well, but it's got a little bit of satire in it, and it's kind of like about social media and this guy just goes on, no spoiler, but he kind of goes on like a rampage, and he live streams the whole thing, and it's completely wild. And the way they filmed it as well, I think like I saw some behind the scenes of it. I think they filmed like all of it on GoPros, and the way they did it was like really smart. So I
That's
definitely
crazy. That
recommend
sounds
that.
great. I'm gonna check that out ASAP. There was another movie that came out, and it was an hour long, I think. I forgot what it was called
The
though, and it was like
host.
based on, what was that?
Host.
Yeah, that one.
You
The
said
one
an
on
hour
Zoom.
long, and I just knew what you were talking about
Yeah,
straight away.
I thought it was perfect. I thought it was perfect because it was creepy, it was cool, and it wasn't overly long and too much. It was just creepy as shit. And I remember the last scene got me. I don't scream a lot in movies, and that last moment. made me jump out of my chair and I screamed really loud. And I was like, oh my God.
I think Lindsay said you did.
I watched it again and rewinded it. And it got me again like a second later. I was like, what the fuck, man?
That got me too. And my dog was sitting next to me and I jumped so high. And the dog just like jumped up as well. He had no idea what was going on. I was like, I'm so sorry, Bear. But yeah, it got me as well. I know exactly what you mean.
we actually had Emma Louise Webb, who plays Emma in the movie. She was on the podcast a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, and she's so nice. She's like the nicest person in the world, and they're all exactly like, they're just exactly, because they're really interactive on like Twitter and things like that. So they're all just what they appear to be in the movie. Like, that's their persona. So it's almost like they're not even acting in that movie, and they're just kind of being themselves. So we were a big fan of it. It actually picked up a couple of awards in our end of year awards episode that we released a few weeks ago as well. So we were definitely a big fan of that. Lindsay, what's your biggest lockdown movie? What have you been?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to think. You must be too quick there. what have I enjoyed in lockdown? I really enjoyed Terrifier. I thought that was really good. I've recently been binge-watching the Purge franchise, which probably isn't the best idea given everything that's going on in the world. It's a little bit too close to home. Yeah, and Host as well. I think Host is just really, like, the breakout thing for me. Like, it just... you don't expect something that short on that lower budget to be that good, but yeah, it just was. Like, it blew so many other like 2020 movies out of the water that had so much of a bigger budget. I think I remember from the interview, Emma was saying that they really pushed for it to be released during lockdown, which I think was such a good idea, because it really did like emphasize that feeling of like isolation and being stuck at home. I thought, yeah, Host was really that lockdown gem, wasn't it?
Yeah, and being released in lockdown, you know, it definitely captured those emotions like you were saying as well. So that was definitely, you know, a really, really smart thing to do. Okay, so let me just have a look here again. I'm losing my place way too much. This is so unprofessional. yeah, so one of the questions was, my first ever horror movie that I saw was Scream. I saw that when I was 6 years old, which is maybe why I like the first Scream so much more than I like the other ones. What was the first... how old were you when you saw your first horror movie? What was it?
Oh my God, I was super young. Both my parents worked, so I used to stay at my grandma's house. And my uncle, my mom's little brother, used to live there. So he just gave me a card to go to the movie shop and like pick up movies whenever I wanted. So I would just use his card and rent movies every day. Those are my babysitters, you know. I think one of the first ones I remember seeing is, I think, Jason Goes to Hell. And I remember because I rented it and I was watching it in my grandma's living room. And it was at the opening scene where like, the chick is like riding the dude and they're having sex and her boobs are just out, and my grandma came in and she's like, what the fuck are you watching? What the fuck is wrong with you? And then he stabbed her and cut her in half and she's like, oh, what the fuck? And she was just like, what's worse, the titties or the death?
And that's when Frankie Doom was born.
There you go, from titties and death. That one, I think. And then I remember watching Bram Stoker's Dracula at a really young age and falling in love with it. I thought it was the most beautiful movie I've ever seen. And till this day, I think it's the most beautiful romantic story ever.
I love that movie. I love that movie so much. I love Gary Oldman and anything.
And that was my inspiration for my vampire.
yeah. And it was great. Yeah, it was fantastic. And that's like, you know, so when we did the resurrection.
That is by far my favorite look I've ever done.
Okay.
The vampire look.
Take that off my next question. Sorry. No, I mean, because when we did the resurrection episode, you know, and we were sort of going through the three different looks that everyone had to do, and I think you were actually possibly the only one that I loved all three of them. Like, I didn't really have anything to say about any of them. I was just so impressed with it, and that was one of the reasons why, you know, like, I reached out to you to come on the show, because I was so impressed, and I was really, really loved all of your looks on resurrection. So.
Thank you.
They were fantastic.
That's awesome to hear.
Lindsay, you do you have any questions? Like I know I just went to Lucy. I can't remember if I went to you.
I was just kind of a bit more curious to know more about your horror influences in drag. Like, obviously, you've spoke a bit about Elvira and some of the films that have influenced you. Like, is there anybody else that you'd want to talk about?
I feel like what goes into creating Frankie Doom is a touch of Elvira with a little bit of Reagan from The Exorcist. It's very that. And then like Ursula the Sea Witch, because she's plus size and sexy.
Oh, yes.
And Christina Aguilera too, she's another one. I feel like those four things are my favorites because I love her music and I love what a powerful woman she is. But horror-wise, oh my God. Frankenhooker is a huge one. The Exorcist is a huge inspiration. Oh my God, Angela from Night of the Demons.
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, one of my favorites. Her name is Trash from Return of the Living Dead, because she's just naked
Yes.
and zombie. Like,
Yes.
I went to Nebraska. Actually, the only gig that I took during this like quarantine moment was I have really good friends in Nebraska, which is like hours away, and states away. And they said, come down for a show. And I think at the time the airports were super like empty, so it seemed safer to travel. So I, paranoid as shit, I took the gig. I went out there and did the show, hung out with my friends that I haven't seen in a long time, which probably wasn't the best idea. But we went shopping at this like Halloween store, and there was a big trash mask. And I had to have it. I felt like it was a sign because I've never seen anything with her on it, and I love her. So I bought the head. So now I have this big like zombie head in the back of my room somewhere that looks horrifying.
See, that's
It doesn't even fit my head.
that's another thing I get jealous about as well. We don't get those like Halloween shops here. Like you just get like you just have like Spirit Halloween and things like that in America. We get nothing like that here. We get like one stand in like Tesco's, which is like
Oh
off
my
street.
God, but it feels like not even just this year alone, but like in general, it feels like Halloween is starting to die. Like people aren't into it as they used to be. Nobody's dressing up anymore and going out. Like it isn't like horror anymore. It's just slutty costumes, you know? Like it's not as creepy or being dead anymore. I think that sucks. I worked for Spirit for a couple of years and that was really fun, like a side job to have. And it was so cool and so fun to just buy a bunch of cheap Halloween shit. But even then, like we don't have as many over here anymore. I think this year was like the least I've seen, but last year too, there was no stores out. But we do have really cool stores like Halloween Town. That's a year-round store. I think they have three locations now. But yeah, it's all band shirts and horror movie shirts and memorabilia and toys, and it's like a gigantic warehouse of anything you'll ever want that's horror related.
That's
Yeah,
awesome.
it's expensive as shit, but like it's super fucking cool and very rare.
Yeah.
So we do have that. That's really
That's
cool.
awesome.
You're
That's
gonna
cool.
have to plan a trip.
We're coming over.
I'll take you. We'll hang
That's
out.
Yay.
I always dress up for Halloween. Like I never, although obviously 2020 was stuck inside, so I didn't bother this year. But 2019, because I'm a bartender normally, so for a nightclub, which so I've not really been able to work since the pandemic began. And so last Halloween that I did was 2019's, and I had four looks over because we did it over like 2 weekends. So I had four looks. So I dressed up as, what did I do? I did Bob Ross. I did a Bob Ross
I
cosplay,
love that.
which was awesome. I had the wig and I had like a little palette and things. So that was awesome. I did a Chucky. I was Chucky. That was my favorite because I got to wear dungarees. And so that was like my favorite. I loved that. I also did a Freddie Mercury one, which was cool, but my arm thing kept falling off, so that was raging. And I did a Billy puppet from Saw as well. So like I am so you guys know Lucy and Lindsay, like I
How
fucking love
cool.
Halloween. Like it's
Oh yeah, for
I
sure.
all I never miss an opportunity. But Lindsay, you've been doing like a lot of Halloween looks as well on Instagram, in the run up to that.
Yeah, I like was just bored in lockdown and I bought loads of makeup and I was just like I really want to challenge myself to do something. So I took some inspo from like things that we'd already covered in the podcast and I did a load of makeup looks. So I did a jigsaw. I was Sally from A Nightmare Before Christmas. What else did I do? I was the lipstick demon from is it Sinister?
I love that.
Insidious.
Yeah.
From Insidious, yeah. So
Insidious.
I think I did like 18 in total over October, but yeah, it was lots of fun. I loved it.
That's awesome.
You mentioned Sinister. That's a fucking scary fucking movie. I saw that in theaters, and it fucked me up. That, and then part two was even worse. I was like, holy shit, this is too much. I think the rats coming out of the stomach fucked me up.
Oh, that moment got me because obviously, as I said, I'm a rat owner. So I just felt bad for the rats.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was just worried. That's all I was worried about. I didn't even worry about the characters. It was just the rats that I was concerned about. Okay, so we've got a couple of questions left. We threw out to some of our listeners as well about asking you some of the questions that we've already asked you have been from some of our listeners as well. A question that we got in, and it sort of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, about how Dracula is, you know, is for so many different types of people. It's for everyone, whereas certain other things, you know, it's very sort of one size cookie cutter almost, you know, like one person and a lot of it sort of looks the same. Sophie asks, have you ever felt isolated from the mainstream drag community because of the type of drag that you do?
Yes and no. There was a lot of them at the beginning. There was bars by my house that had like competitions and stuff, and I was very new, so I wanted to like come out and meet more people. And I think overall it was actually one of Melissa's from season one. Melissa had a competition at one of the bars, and I competed in her show, and I made it to the top three too. It's my curse. I'm never gonna win, but I'll always get it to the end. But I think I learned a lot from mainstream drag to like try other things. Like for me, trying new things was, okay, I'll be a skin color today because I'm usually white and dead, so I got to try being brown and like having a tan, you know what I mean? So I feel like I got to learn that aspect of drag, and I really enjoyed that. So for me, it was fun, but I did get a lot of shit. Like people were like, why don't you shave? Why, you're so tall. Or I'd walk into a dressing room and all the girls were like 5 feet tall with like little wigs. And I was 8 feet tall in giant stripper heels and giant boobs and huge hair and nails. And so it was like, I was a lot to take.
How tall are you normally? Like out of heels.
I'm 5'11.
Okay.
But I always wear 8-inch stripper heels. Yeah. So I'm always a tower, and my boobs are bigger than everybody else's, and my hair is gigantic. So I feel like it's just a lot to take in when she walks in the room. She's a lot, and she'll beat you up. So she's huge. So I feel like I just look threatening. But no, I mean, I did get some like attitudes and people like, why is she here or whatever? But then I'd beat them. So, and then send them home. It really didn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, It was fun. It was fun at the beginning. I never really, and it wasn't too bad. It was fun to compete. It was fun to get to know more people.
So if someone was to come to you and say, you know, like, I'm looking, obviously forgetting about COVID, you know, like, I'm looking to get into this, I want to do this, what would be like the one piece of advice that you would give?
My biggest advice for people in general to hit me up, because I get a lot of like around the time that Dracula's going to start, I guess, having auditions or whatnot. I get a lot of messages with, what do you think I need to get on? Or what do you think I should do? And I feel like, well, one, you shouldn't be asking me what you think you need. You should know what you have. You should know what you're good at. You know what I mean? Before you try out for a TV show. I just tell people, find what makes you special. Find what makes you stand out. There's so much drag out there. There's, whether you're on the spectrum of more on the Drag Race side, where there's all these queens that are beautiful, giant hair and whatever, and money and glitter and diamonds, and or on the other edge of the spectrum, where we're just like fucking doing monsters and gender bending and all kinds of crazy things. You know what I mean? It's, where do you stand and what makes you special? What makes you stand out? Don't staple yourself because one of us did. Don't do the same things that some of us do. Because I've done that, where I've gone to do shows with people and it'll be like a Dracula theme show or whatever. And the people come out and they'll do the same numbers we've done. Like they'll do a Halloween number, or they'll do like a Monique number, or they'll do something like that, or Ursula number, or something that I've done before. And they're stapling themselves and putting pins in their face. And I'm just like, ugh. Like, one, that's unsafe. A safety pin shouldn't go in your face like that. And two, find something that's you. Don't copy someone else. So don't think that being that extreme is going to get you anywhere. I think you need to find out what your passion is and what's, you know, basically create yourself. You get to start over, make your own person, make your person up, you know?
Yeah, I think that's great, because no one can do...
And get a good corset.
Because no one can do you better than you as well. Like, you'll never be able to do someone else better than how they do themselves, because they're the original, you know. So yeah, I think that's awesome. The last question then that I have for you is, out of your time on Resurrection in season one, what was your favorite moment?
Ugh, that's hard. I think my favorite moment, and that's just because I felt like I came alive, was recording the vampire. Because it was one of my favorite makeups ever. I loved having boobs glued onto my skin, and I loved seeing like the flesh being painted and the wings, and just everything was really cool. And I actually got to help make those prosthetics. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun to see like something that I molded or something that I like put in an oven come out and actually work, you know? So it was cool to see the prosthetics happen. It was awesome to wear it. And we had like a certain amount of time to get ready. So it was just this big rush and just everything. So when I jumped out into it was actually my front yard. I had my friend that has hearses, and he works for like mortuaries and stuff. So he brought hearses to my house. It was amazing. All my neighbors were watching. They were all out on like lawn chairs, like fucking cheering me on. And my parents were watching. So that was really cool to like be this big naked vampire thing with jiggling my ass on front of a camera with my mom watching and clapping and like laughing. So that was really cool. I mean, my mom just saw my butthole. So it was really cool to kind of show her like, this is what I do, this is what I love, and this is why I love it. And there's people that are here to film it because it's special and it makes people happy. So for me, it was my favorite look, my favorite moment, and my mom actually being involved in it, my family seeing it, and the world seeing it. So like, even till this day, like I'll walk outside and I'll have my neighbors come up and say like, did you win? How'd the show go? You look fucking cool. So it's kind of cool to like, I don't know, it was a really cool support moment and I loved it. It was awesome.
That's so cool. I think I said that in the Resurrection episode that we did, was that your vampire look was possibly my favorite from all three seasons and Resurrection. Like, I was absolutely obsessed with that look. And your witch look as well. Like, those two looks I was completely obsessed with. But one of the other things about, and it was more of a sort of a throwaway line that you did in Resurrection, you said, I'm an only child. Well, I have a sister. And me and my fiance were completely floored by that for a solid 15 minutes. Like, that was so...
Well, she doesn't count. No. Well, she's a lot younger than I am. I was the first kid born in my family, so I was alone for about 10 or 11 years. So I was the most spoiled little boy. I had everything I ever wanted, and then all the others came along. But... my sister and I are 10 years apart, so I'm over here into horror movies and into all the stuff that I'm into, and she's completely the opposite, only into school. We don't really hang out. We don't really have much in common, so I'm just like, I'm an only kid. She doesn't count. She's never around. She doesn't do anything.
There's also 10 years between me and my sister, but she's older than me, so she's the older one, so I just used to get beat up a lot by her when I was young.
I used to scare her a lot. I mean, she still brings it up to this day. She's really afraid of clowns, and I used to put on clown masks, and I used to jump out of the closet and chase her as a clown or as a crypt keeper. I think I had the crypt keeper costume when we were little kids. When she was little and I was 10 or 11, and I chased her when she was a little baby as a fucking crypt keeper for a while.
It's funny.
So I think I've traumatized her a lot.
It's funny you say stuff like that. I remember once when I was young, I hid under my bed in my bedroom. There was nothing going on. It was just me and my mom in the house. And she came through to the bedroom to, I don't know, get me for food or whatever. And I grabbed her ankles and just went, ah! And I've never seen someone run out of a house so fast in my entire life. I think I got grounded for about a month for that, to be fair.
My biggest fear, I think, is home invasion.
Yes.
So watching The Strangers really fucked me up. And my boyfriend knows this, and he came to my house, and he came over, and I was in the kitchen. And I mean, I'm like crazy vigilant, like thinking about people breaking in, I'll murder them. Like, they're not gonna make it out of this house. I'll teach them to never break in somewhere again. So I'm always ready. I heard a noise, I heard like a sound. I don't know what the fuck it was, but I felt it. Somebody was in my home. Mm-hmm. So I ran, I grabbed a giant knife, and I was hiding behind the wall, ready to kill somebody. And he turned the corner, and he was like, boo! And I was like, never do that again. And I had this huge knife. And he was like, oh my God, I thought you were going to stab me. And I was like, I was, bitch. Like, you were about to lose your tit.
You were about to lose a titty.
Right. She was about to go down. I was like, that would have been the end of our life together.
Awesome. Right. Before we finish up, Lucy, Lindsay, is there anything else that you want to ask?
Yeah, I know you mentioned earlier, Frankie, about the Resident Evil games. I am a huge video gamer. I love horror games as well. I've got The Last of Us 2 over here. I love Alien Isolation. I just wonder, is there any other horror video games that you really like? And have video games ever inspired your drag as well?
They did actually. Well, Resident Evil, I think, was one of the first video games I ever got when I was younger. I'm not a huge gamer. I just strictly stay to like horror games and God of War. I love God of War a lot and Dante's Inferno. But I mostly stay to Resident Evil. I want to start playing more horror games. I just haven't gone around to it. But Resident Evil inspired my zombie in season one. We had to do zombies for that challenge. I was very like, well, what's the thing that everyone's going to do? They're going to be pretty. They're going to be kind of like cutesy. I was like, fuck that. I want to be a mutated nurse. So I tried getting this nurse costume and having a weird arm. And, you know, it was guts coming out of my panties.
Yeah, I can say, what's your favorite Resident Evil game?
Oh, that's hard. I think 3.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think my favorite's probably 2.
Oh, I love 2. 2 is amazing too. But I think when Nemesis pops out in 3, it fucking scares me every time. And I'm like,
it's terrifying.
The adrenaline pumping and your heart's like about to explode and you're trying to kill it or escape. I know, it gets me. I love it. I love that fear. I love being scared. I love part 4 though. Part 4 was amazing.
Yeah. That was good. I liked 7 that one as well.
I played that one from beginning to end. And yeah, I didn't talk to anybody for like a month.
You just had to hide away.
I literally played it over and over and over. I kept repassing it and just doing it all over again to get better at it. I was obsessed with that game for a while.
I was like that with The Last of Us too. I've been playing that constantly since it came out. It's an obsession.
Do you play Dead by Daylight?
I do. Sorry, Lucy. Just take over. I do play it. I don't play it like all the time, but generally, if I'm like sitting of an evening, most of my gaming is just on the Xbox. So, you know, filthy console gamer, Lucy. Dead by Daylight's usually something that I play, and I always play it as Michael Myers. So,
I haven't played it yet, but I really want to. And then I saw that they had Michael Myers, and I think they had Leatherface also or something. Yeah, that's going to happen at some point. So I have to have that game now.
They've got loads of cool DLCs for it, because they've got the Halloween DLC. They've got Nightmare on Elm Street's on there. They've Leatherface. They've got Pyramid Head one, I think, up there now, which
I love Silent Hill. I love Pyramid Head.
Yes. So I haven't got that one yet, so I'm looking forward to getting that one so I can play. I think there's a couple others. I think you can beat Ash from Ash and the versus Evil Dead as well. So get it played. It's loads of fun. Because it's rounds. So they take usually take about 20 minutes or so per round. So you can get through and play as all your favorite sort of characters, or you can be a survivor and get murdered by them. So whatever your fantasy is.
I have to get into that. That's actually one of my biggest fantasies. I was telling my friends that I want to do a video series where I'm just this beautiful final girl and random killers come in and just murder me really brutally and like just post it like these horrible snuff films, you know, on YouTube or like somewhere.
You should totally
do
that.
I'm gonna work on that soon.
Awesome.
Actually, just 2 days ago, I wanted to recreate the scene where Michael kills his sister.
Okay, with the mask.
Yeah, so my boyfriend was gonna get the little mask and put it on the phone and like walk in the room, and I was gonna be like, Michael, and like cover my boobs and get stabbed to death. But he was saying it'd be so funny if I was like Michael in a man voice.
That would be so cool. Lindsay, anything else that you want to ask?
You might have alluded to it just there, but I was just wondering what the dream Frankie Doom project is.
Oh my god, I want to live every horror movie. So I think I'm going to start working on it. I'm not going to want to, I'm going to do it. I'm going to record a whole bunch of just random deaths, and I want to get mutilated. I want to recreate Scream. I think my biggest one, I want to do Scream 4, where the girl's in her bedroom and he comes out of her closet and stabs her in the hand and starts stabbing her all over the place, and she gets like just wrecked to shit.
Yeah.
I want to throw blood over my walls and just make everything a big bloody mess.
That's so cool.
It already kind of is. Like, I have walls in my room that are just covered in blood from other performances that I've done for Digital Dread.
It's decor now. It's on purpose.
Yeah, it's part of like the party now. It's just this big bloody nightclub in here.
Awesome. Frankie, is there anything you want to ask us? Because obviously, as horror podcasters, you know, is there any sort of horror things that you like to speak to people about? Anything you want to ask us?
Now that you've met me and talked to me and we've had this beautiful conversation, do you like me better than Meatball?
Yes.
I'm like, could you not get her on? Good. Was she busy? Was she too busy to be on this?
shame.
You are the only one that I reached out to. I reached out to you and I reached out to Bitch Pudding. You were the only two that I reached out to, so. There you go.
Oh, Bitch must have been busy. I'm just gonna.
Bitch just the never replied. She just didn't reply.
The winner was busy.
No.
She's busy revolutionizing the world of drag. That bitch is doing it. She's made digital drag happen and made it a thing, and she's really great at it.
Yeah.
I love her show. I love what she puts together.
Yeah, because I know Betch and Eva and Madeline Hatter, and they do like a lot of stuff on Twitch and things like that as well.
Yeah.
Have you been on that, or are you? Is that something that you would look to do yourself, or?
I did one, and I kind of want to do it again, but I feel like I wanted to be a stage show. I love to perform on a stage. I think I'm going to wait, but I might bring it back. We were calling it Night of the Living Drag.
Yeah.
And we did zombie night. So me and Zochi got together and we did like zombie numbers and stuff. But it was at the beginning of it. And you can't really shoot stuff like high quality because then you can't play it on Twitch because then it like freezes and like dies. So it's kind of a pain in the ass. But awesome. I might get back into it. I love horror drag. I love doing horror movies. So this all might turn into one big project of just me being murdered and people watching.
So, last thing that I have, I know I've said last thing a few times. So I know obviously we're still very much in lockdown, you know, COVID is still, you know, destroying the world. We're all living life slightly differently. What's kind of next? Like, what have you got? Have you got anything coming up, say, in like the next couple of months? Or is it a case of, you know, just sort of gearing down a little bit for a couple of months? Or...
I feel like we're in the waiting game.
Yeah.
Like people thought 2021 was going to happen and COVID's over. And it's like, no, there's still, I mean, it's still happening. It's not just because it's the new year. It doesn't mean it's, you know, we're all safe again. So it's kind of up in the air. I'm hoping that there's a tour at some point. It'd be really cool to get the Resurrection family together and like travel the United States and hopefully the world at some point. That'd be really cool. Again, I got cheated out of that. I got cheated out of a tour. But, that'd be really cool. I would love to come to the UK and shake my vampire ass all over the place.
Well, we'd be more than delighted to have you come to Scotland, come to Aberdeen specifically, because that's where we are. When people come to Scotland, they'll go to Glasgow or they'll go to Edinburgh. Go to Aberdeen.
I took that number to Nebraska, and I did my my ghost first in the beautiful gown and everything, and then I came out as a naked bat later. And I didn't think about how I couldn't go back to looking normal after that because I was kind of stuck in that makeup. So the whole time we were at the club, the bar, I was just walking around the bar like naked with like boobs on. and everybody else was so normal looking in random regular clothing, and I was just like, hi. I'm just sitting here, covered in blood, naked, with my ass out, in a jock strap.
That's just
an average Friday, fucking cold. Right? It was so cold.
It's just an average Friday, though, no?
It's very true, though. That is very my MO.
Awesome. Do you guys remember when we thought this was going to last for, like, 12 weeks and that was it?
Yeah?
Oh, no.
Do you remember that time? That was a simpler time, wasn't it?
The days of Tiger King, when we were like, this is great, we're just having a couple weeks at home.
I usually work in the summer. I work in Alaska for the summer. So for me, it was like, okay, cool. We'll be good by July. I'll be going to work in the summer. I'll be fine. I'll be back to normal. Nope. Then I got laid off and I was like, well, what am I supposed to do now? Thank God Resurrection happened.
When we went into lockdown the first time, I had to go into work and actually board up the building. Because like I say, we're in nightclubs and bars. So we knew that we were going to be shut for... at least at the time we thought 12 weeks, so at least 3 months. So I actually had to go in and like board it up like it was a fucking zombie apocalypse.
That's so crazy. It was very apocalyptic at first. I remember I think the last show I did was in New York with Kendra, and we were there, and that was when things started kind of coming out of the news more and getting crazier. I think that was in March or was it February? No, I think it was February. So we were like in one town, and then one town over was getting on the news talking about 40 new cases, 50 new cases. I was like, we need to fucking get home. This is getting really serious. And then we got home, and I think the next week was lockdown.
Yeah.
So I felt like it was chasing me on the airplane. But thank God I haven't experienced COVID.
Yeah.
But it was scary. And we immediately went into, okay, we're not going anywhere. We're not seeing anybody. We're going to stay home. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been that way. I think I've only seen, like, I've seen my closest friends because they live very close to me. And, like, mm-hmm. we all kind of talk and stay close to each other and get tested a lot. So we make it happen.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, like, I know for me, you know, I've not really seen a lot of people. My sister lives pretty close by, so I have been able to sort of see her at times and have sort of socially distanced visits outside with my mother and things like that. But it is tough. And I remember that last couple of weeks before going into lockdown, because like I say, we were working in the nightclubs, and that was kind of like where everyone was really worried about it, you know, being in the clubs, because it's, you know, really hot conditions and sweaty conditions and poor ventilation, and everyone's really close to each other. So, you know, we were really panicking a little bit, and touch wood, you know, we've managed to stay COVID free, but obviously there's been so many. And I do remember a time where, you know, 30 people were getting COVID, and now here in Scotland alone, I think the number today was like 1800 or something that got COVID like yesterday. So it's so crazy that we're almost a year down the line.
And we're still, it's insane. Like, I think here it's like 3,000 people a day or something get COVID. Yeah. That's insane. And then I still see people with no fucking mask. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I have so many.
Have some sense.
I have so many Twitter rows. I'm so bad for it on social media. Just about it. Anyways, let's not depress ourselves with too much COVID chat. Frankie, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really, really do appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. This is one of the funnest I've ever been on, because it's actually horror talking about like movies and scary things. And it was cool.
Awesome. No, absolutely delighted to have it on. You're welcome to come back on anytime you want. You can be our new guest. You can just be your new host.
I'm ready. I'll be in my correspondent outfit. I'll have a wig on and everything. I'll be ready. For no reason whatsoever. I'll just be dressed up.
That's fine. That's fine by me. Do you want to remind everyone where they can find you on your social media?
Look me up on Facebook under Frankie Doom. Look me up on Instagram, Frankie_Doom. And I have my YouTube that I've never used. So I started uploading all my random digital drag videos. So go look for me, Frankie Doom, on YouTube, and like my videos and look at all the crap that I've been doing while I've been bored at home.
Awesome. Awesome. Lindsay, where can they find you?
I'm at @HiIt'sLindsay_ on all social media.
Awesome. Lucy?
Find me on Twitter and Twitch @Lulu_Pew.
Awesome. Find us on Twitter @ScreamsBehind, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube is @BehindTheScreams Podcast. Up next on the show, we're talking about the 1998 movie Cube. It's my choice this week, so we're going to be talking about Cube. We did Lucy's at the start of the year, where we talked about Birdemic. Thank you once again for that.
You'll never let me live that down.
And last week we talked about Attack the Block, which was Lindsay's choice, so it's going to be Cube next for me. So do tune into that. Rate and review us on iTunes and subscribe to us on our Patreon, patreon.com/BehindTheScreams. You can sign up there from as little as £1 a month. But until then, thank you once again to Frankie for joining us on the show. Thank you to you guys, Lucy and Lindsay as well, and to you guys who are listening to this episode at home. And we hope you will join us next time on Behind the Screams.